Okay, Exodus chapter 20, what's there? All right. Listen, I'm going to encourage you again. You need to start learning where things are in your Bible. You know, you don't have to know everything about that particular thing. But if I said, you know, Jesus and Lazarus, yeah, well, I pretty much say, well, I'm just not a Bible scholar. Well, study more. Amen. You know, we say we live by this book. We ought to know what's in it. Amen. Exodus 20, Ten Commandments. And we're going to look at them tonight. Nothing new to you. At least it shouldn't be. Exodus 20. And, I'll just use this one up here. Exodus 20. The Bible says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Let's pray. Father, bless this time we're going to spend looking at this passage. Seeing once again as you teach us through this mighty man of God, Moses, lessons we need to learn. Oh, Lord, help us have receptive hearts, open to you, clay in your hands, that your will be done in our hearts and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me put this up here. Moses on the mountain, subtitle, Obeying God's Commands. Now, you know, a primary requirement for God's children has always been obedience. It's very evident in today's story as we read about God establishing the moral law that he required his people to obey. Now, here's Israel, and they're in their journey once again to Canaan land. And God now takes Moses up there on the mountain, and he gives them these Ten Commandments that are supposed to be the guideposts of behavior and worship for this nation of Israel. Now, since the days of Moses, these same Ten Commandments have become an iconic symbol, if you will, even in America's heritage and the development of our legal system. You know, it amazes me. These people are yelling, take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. Well, you can take them off the wall, but how do you remove them from the law? It's what the law is based on. Well, actually, these commandments were received twice by Moses. We know the first time he broke the tablets. But they're accepted as the moral standard of behavior, and believe it or not, worldwide. How many societies, you know, just follow these kind of rules? You know, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to lie. Where'd they get that? God put it in their heart, according to Romans 1. Now, these rules or commandments that God gave serve to codify exactly what God expects. And, you know, the Ten Commandments are a miracle in themselves because they're so brief and concise, and they cover such a wide range. No man could have ever come up with Ten Commandments that would cover every sin a man could ever commit. But God did. And he gave them to Moses. So let's look at these commands now. Notice the first thing, the mutual commitments. Now, in any real relationship, there's got to be commitments on both sides of the relationship. Whether it's husbands and wives, employees with employers, teammates with teams. And you know, it comes to bear in us as God's people. There's got to be commitments on both sides. Now, we read in the Bible how God made a pledge to the people. He made a commitment. Look over at 19, if you will. Chapter 19, verse 3. It says there, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So notice here how God reminds them what he's done for them. He reminds them how I brought you out of it. You ever notice how often God had to remind these people what he did for them? You know, it's just like us. We so quickly forget. But God here once again reminds them, hey, this is what I've done to you, and he knew done for you, and he knew they needed reminding. And let me remind you, it's good for us every once in a while to remember what God's done for us. You know, preaching on prayer on Sunday, I reminded you that prayer is not just a time when we take our grocery list to God. It also ought to be a time of praise for what he's done for us. Remembering. And so God was reminding them. David, over in Psalm 77:11, said this, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. David knew the value in remembering what God had done for him. And you know, when we'll take time just to remember some of the things God's done for us, his goodness and his power, it's going to affect our daily life. We need to have that time. But after God reminds him of what he did for him, now he made a promise to them. But I want you to notice this. This is what we call a conditional promise. There's lots of them in the Bible. I've shared with you before about these conditional promises. And see, this is one of the problems a lot of Christians have. They want to claim the promise, but they don't want to admit the condition of the promise. Well, it don't work that way. And it didn't work for these people. Here was God's promise. He said, if they obeyed his commands, that they would become or be a peculiar treasure. And that doesn't mean odd. Doesn't mean weird. It actually means set apart. When I read it, I see it as God saying this, you'll become a special treasure to me. If. That's a condition. If what? If you obey. Now, he said you would also be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, it's a wonderful thing that when we stop and think about the fact that if we will obey God's commands, it will make us very special and unique to him. See, God wants us to live a holy lifestyle. Do you believe that? Well, the Bible says we should. Let me give you some verses. Leviticus 19:2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 20:26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have served you, severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, that's your lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And in John 14:21, Jesus himself said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Listen, when we're obedient to God, it's pleasing to him. You know, I don't know where these liberals get the idea. We don't have to try to please God. Maybe they read it. I guess they do read a different Bible than I do. Because my Bible says we're to be holy. And we're to be holy, why? To please him. Well, holiness is a lost doctrine in our churches today. That's why if you look around, you see a lot of blue. Because we still preach holiness. We still believe it because it's still in the book. Well, God made a pledge to the people. He said, if you will, I will. Right? But watch this. Now the people made a pledge to God. Here's where it gets dangerous. Look at 19 and verse 8. God's just made his pledge to them. Now, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Moses confronts the people. The people say, hey, all the Lord said, we're going to do it. You know, it's like Sunday morning in the invitation. Ooh. Did I say that? I think I did. Yeah, I'm going to obey God. Yeah, I'm going to do what God wants. And they go out here on Monday and live like the devil. Well, these people said, okay, all that the Lord requires. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And they get the pledge of God. They respond. Now, there's two commitments in that promise they made. When they said all that the Lord had said, we would. Number one, they said they would obey. And number two, they said they would obey completely. Now, we don't have a problem with they said they would obey. Just like we say so often, I'll obey. We run into the trouble where we say they would obey completely. You know, so many times we find Christians who want to obey, but not completely. There's a problem with that. Now, I'm glad when people, you know, work to obey the Lord. But God says, obey me completely. And I think of Saul. How many of you know the story of Saul? Remember what he did? Now, did he obey the Lord? He said he did. He went down and killed the people and everything, didn't he? Like God said. He obeyed the Lord. But he didn't obey completely. He kept the king alive and he kept some of the spoils like he wasn't supposed to. He obeyed God, but not completely. And it ended up costing him the kingdom. And God said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, this thing about obedience. You know, you ever been in a courtroom? And you know what the township means? You know, you got to raise your right hand, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Of course, some of them left the so help me God off nowadays. But you know, you're supposed to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And the fact is, any deviation from the whole truth is in reality a lie. And if you're a witness in a court and you tell a lie, you're guilty of perjury. And that's a very serious offense. You can go to prison for that. The point I want to make is, hey, a pledge to truth is very, very important. Keeping obedience, all of it, is very, very important. Some examples maybe of how we show partial obedience. We're willing to give somebody an invitation to come to church. But we run across somebody who wants to know how to be saved, and we're not willing to show them. We walk away from them. No Christian would ever do that. Oh, yes, they would. Yeah. How about this? I'll give to God, but I'm not going to tithe. I know I'm supposed to give to God, so when the plate comes by, I'll put $10 in. Matter of fact, I'll put 15 in. But I'm making $900 a week. You give to God? Oh, yeah, I give to God. But I'm not obedient to God. And you know, we could take that in so many other areas of our life. Oh, I read my Bible. Why, I read it last Sunday. I read a verse before I have my Wheaties every morning. Really? What about where God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed. Oh, I pray, preacher. Every day when I get out of bed, I say, Lord, bless me today. And before I go to bed, I say, now I lay me down to sleep. Really? And then you're griping and moaning. God's not keeping his word. He said he would do this. He said he would do that. Well, you're not keeping your end. Partial obedience. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Really? You're the only person in the world I ever knew that did. Matter of fact, nobody ever does. But how about this? How about if he went to God and said, now look, you got those Ten Commandments. I'm going to keep seven of them. I guess God's supposed to jump for joy, huh? So you say, well, that's ridiculous. Yeah, but that's how some Christians live. I'm going to do this much, but not everything you want me to do. By the way, don't ever forget what James said over in James 2. 10 and 11, he said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. You say, well, I don't break the law. You ever lie? If you just said no, you just lied. Listen, I doubt you could not convince me that there's a person in this room who's never lied in their whole life. You know, the first place I'd want to look is your income tax statement. Well, I exaggerated. It's not a lie. Well, you tell God that. But listen, no matter which one, if we break just one of the ten, we're guilty of all of them. I told you a story how when I was a kid, we used to go blackberry picking. Now, I love blackberries. I hated picking. See, I was just a little tyke, and I had older brothers, and so when blackberries were in, my mother sent us all out. She'd get out there and pick blackberries. And we'd bring them back, and she'd can them, and then along about Thanksgiving or Christmas, she'd get them out and make blackberry pie to die for. But in July, when the sun was hot and the snakes were abundant, I didn't like blackberry picking. But I went. And I remember we'd go blackberry picking and we'd get in the car to come home. And I remember one conversation, my one brother said, "Well, I only ate one blackberry." I don't want to tell him how many I ate. But my brother said, "Well, you know, if you ate one, you ate blackberries." See, he couldn't say, "I didn't eat any." Just eating one broke it. Same with the law. Just one. One little lie. One little covetous thought. When your neighbor pulled up in that brand new vehicle and you're driving junk. Yeah. You just broke the whole law. So we see the mutual commitments. Then watch this. The mighty commandments. God wrote these with his finger. And you ever wonder why God wrote them down? And wrote them in stone? Because he knew we have short memories. He didn't tell Moses, just memorize them. Write them in stone. You ever have somebody say, "That's written in stone"? You know what that means. I mean, it's there for the ages. And then, not only that, God had them written in stone. You know what he had him do with those tablets, the second set? Put them in the ark. So they were always there. These were very mighty commandments, and God wanted them written and preserved for all the future generations. And they have an illustration about a businessman. This guy was very ruthless in his business. And he was talking to Mark Twain. Y'all know who Mark Twain was. I love Mark Twain and some of his statements. I mean, the guy just had an ability to... But he said to Mark Twain, he said, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land." He said, "I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud atop that mountain as loud as I can." And Mark Twain looked at him and said, "I have a better idea. You could just stay in Boston and keep them." Listen, these commandments are important to God. He put them in stone and he had them preserved. And he wants to make sure we're keeping them. So, let's look at them. The commandments listed man's duties to God. The first four commandments have to do with man's relationship to God. Let's look at them. Scriptures show us that before we can have a proper relationship with other people, we got to have a right relationship with God. You know, spouses are not going to have a right relationship with one another if they don't have a right relationship with God. Parents are not going to have a right relationship with children, children with parents, etc., till that relationship is right. So God says, now here's these four commandments. This is our relationship, you and me. Number one, he says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Did you ever think about what was going on when God said that? He had all these heathen people around the world that were bowing down to images and worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars and just everything but him. And so commandment number one, top of the list, you can only have one God. And he has to be the one. God says that he is a jealous God. People say, "Oh, God sins, he's jealous." No, that's a righteous jealousy. And what he's saying is, he is not going to put up with somebody putting other things ahead of him. He has to be our one and only. Think about the marriage relationship. You know, a wife doesn't want to be just number one. You with me? She wants to be the only one. There's a difference. Unfortunately, I've known some men, their wife was number one, but she was number one on the list. That don't fly. One exclusively. That's what God wants. And he says there. You know, we had David Harris here several years ago, and he was talking about his Japan ministry. He was in Japan, I don't know, 20-some years. But he was saying how over there you got to be very careful about your soul-winning efforts and bringing people to Christ because they have a multitude of gods. And unless you make clear to them and get them to understand, you can't just add Jesus to the other multitude of your gods. You've got to give all them up and receive him alone as your God. And that's what God's saying here. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Exclusive worship. And then commandment number two. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Can you imagine going home and bowing down to a snake or a rat? Or people do. Remember Brother Jeff Coat here telling how they worshiped the cobra? How many of you remember that? He said they were putting food outside the hole where the cobra was. And the last thing I'd do is feed a cobra. Man, I'd be waiting with a gun for that sucker. They worshiped them. God says, no, 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 no. No images. Now, I'm not trying to be critical, but the Roman Catholics have a real problem here. Now, if you confront them, listen, I was one. They'll tell you we don't bow down to images, but they do. They go and kneel before those statues. And if they don't bow down to images, how come they got these Mary in a bathtub things in their yard? Images. God says, no, 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 you don't do that. By the way, we don't worship idols. I know, I don't think for a minute any of you would go home and have a little altar there and bow down. But don't ever forget, anything we put ahead of God becomes an idol. Got to move on, can't stay there. Look what else he says. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I remember my unsaved days. Shame on me. I'm glad I'm forgiven. And I remember how after I got saved and I worked in that factory and these people would come around and use my Savior's name in vain. Use God's name in vain. You ever wonder why when they want to curse something, they never use Buddha's name. They never use Confucius' name. It's always God's name. But they'd use the Lord's name in vain. And if I was around and I'd hear it, I'd say, oh, do you know him? And they look at you funny. You're just talking about Jesus. I thought maybe you knew him. You know, many times that would make them more careful what they said around you. But listen, we shouldn't use that kind of language. James said, does sweet water and bitter water come out of the same spring? No. But, and again, I doubt any of our people are running around using the Lord's name in vain. But we need to be careful how we use God's name. Texters, OMG, that's blasphemy. That's using God's name in vain. Huh? I didn't. Yeah. You're throwing God's name around lightly. God says, no, no, no. And by the way, some other euphemisms. and jokes about God. Be very careful there. Commandment number 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We know why God made the Sabbath. We know the Jews were to keep the Sabbath. We know in the New Testament, Jesus does away with the Sabbath. We don't have a problem with that, do we? We find the New Testament church did not observe the Sabbath. They observed the Lord's Day. Sabbath is Saturday. Lord's Day is Sunday. Sometimes I kind of wish God had kept the Sabbath day in order. Don't look at me that way. I think you know why. See, God gave us the Lord's Day, and He gave us so much liberty that people, Christians today, abuse the Lord's Day. These Jews on the Sabbath day weren't allowed to do anything. Only absolute necessities were to be done on the Sabbath day. Why, one man was out picking up sticks to make a fire, and he got stoned to death for it. We were delivered from that. We don't have to keep the Sabbath. But God says He wants us to observe His day and give Him the Lord's day. What's that mean? That means Sunday is a day to go to church and go to Sunday school and come back to church Sunday night and those kind of things. It's not just another day in the weekend. Yeah, it's His day. And amazingly, some of you will remember, like I do, a time when Sunday was, even for unsaved people, a day of rest. A day when stores closed and bars closed and, the kids didn't play Little League and all that kind of mess on Sunday. I had friends when I was a kid, and they were in Presbyterian church and other kinds of churches other than Catholic. And we would go to the movies Sunday afternoon, my brothers and I. Of course, Catholics didn't have a problem with it. Some of my Protestant buddies, I say, hey, you want to go to the movie? No, we don't do that on Sunday. See, today anything goes on Sunday. No, not for God's people. We need to be in the church house. Then, notice this, now the next six, give man's duties to other men. These are in our relationships this way. So the first 4, God says, are this way. The next 6 go this way. Let's go over them real quick. Number 1, honor thy father and thy mother. By the way, there's a promise connected to that. You listening, kids? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. See, there's a promise to that. Honor your mother and your father, and your days will be long. You say, well, I know something. Listen, I'm just telling you what it says. Then he goes on. But this thing with children and honoring parents, you know, how do you honor your parents? Well, number 1, you obey them. Number 2, you respect them. I was brought up to respect my parents. And see, my parents had this tool for teaching me how to respect them. Sometimes it was the back of my dad's hand. See, we were taught to be careful what you say to mom and dad. Yeah. Now, I know that's child abuse today and all those kind of things. But, you know, it taught us respect. It taught us how to respect our parents. Children today don't have that. We have this permissive parenting thing today. You know, I can't imagine me saying to my parents some of the things I hear kids say to their parents today. My dad would have been in jail and I would have been in the grave. How did we get this far? By the way, Paul talks about this over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Children to be disobedient to parents. Anyway, let me move on. Number 6, thou shalt not kill. Preacher, are you for the death penalty? Absolutely. Well, just said there, thou shalt not kill. No, you need to read the rest of the Bible. See, God defines what he means here. He's talking about premeditated murder. That's what he's talking about. You say, where'd you get it? I read the rest of the Bible. You read it. God talks about a man who kills a man by mistake as compared to a man who wantonly, willfully takes a human life. And God has never rescinded the death penalty. Still in effect. And here's a thought for you. I don't have the exact reference, but God says if there's innocent blood spilled and it's not requited, in other words, it's not punished, whoever did it, God is going to take vengeance on that. Now, that scares me for America. Because, number one, we don't put killers to death much anymore. And number two, we've killed how many million babies? You know, in that doctor's program I'm dealing with right now, counseling terminal and sick people. And the one class I just listened to, the guy was talking about this idea of taking human life in abortion and euthanasia and all the verses in the Bible that teach against that. No murder. God says, thou shalt not kill. And then number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, from the very beginning, God's plan is one man, one woman for life. Over in the New Testament, the Pharisees argued with Jesus and said, well, Moses gave us a writing of divorcement. Jesus said, with God, it was not always so. But that was done for the hardness of your heart. In other words, you were going to do it anyway. Moses just gave you a legal way to do it, but it was never God's way. There's a report from the Journal of Marital and Family Therapy. And in their journal, they report, you listen, 41% of marriages, in 41% of marriages, one of the partners has been unfaithful. That's an amazing statistic. Why is it that way? Because we've made it acceptable. You know, one of the ways this became acceptable, believe it or not, is through the soap operas of yesteryear. Yeah. Oh, I remember how the fundamentalists used to, boy, they used to nail those soap operas. You women sit home all afternoon watching those soap operas. And rightly so, because it had an effect. It said to people, hey, that's okay. It just adds a little excitement to your life. No big deal. Everybody's doing it. And now everybody's doing it. Listen, God said, no, 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 no. Proverbs 7, 5, 6, and 7 all speak about the evil, wicked woman and physical relationships outside of marriage. Listen, you ever read about Joseph? And how that woman tried to get him to commit adultery? Did you ever stop to think that was before the law was ever given? And what did Joseph say? He said he couldn't sin against his master and God. See, God has made it clear in man what God expects. man has just refused to obey it. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. Now, some of the Mideast countries have a good remedy for that. You steal, they'll cut your hand off. Number 1, that'll keep you from doing it again. Number 2, it marks you. Do I advocate that? No. No. Because we'd have a bunch of one-armed people running around today. Now, I don't think any of you are going to run down and rob the local bank. If you do, don't tithe on it and tell me about it. I was kidding, Mrs. Vile. They were folks, older folks passed away now. Her husband was a preacher, Brother Vile. But I was kidding one day about robbing gas stations. She said, well, you don't have to tithe on it. I said, what? She said, yeah, you rob a gas station, you're not tithe on it. I said, why not? She said, because God didn't give it to you. You stole it. Never thought about it. But how many of us are guilty of stealing? You know, we probably wouldn't take something that belongs to somebody else, but how about stealing time from our employer? You know, I knew a fella, he worked for United States Steel, and he claimed to be a Christian. He would go into work, punch into work, work a few hours, and then go home and have somebody punch him out when the shift was over. Talk about a crook. And he claimed to be a Christian. He was trying to tell all his buddies down there at the steel mill what a Christian he was. I'd just soon he keep his mouth shut and don't tell anybody where you go to church. Amen? Well, you get the idea. Statistics. Retailers lost a total of $34.5 billion in 2011 by employee theft, shoplifting, and administrative error, and vendor fraud. You know, one of the reasons our prices go up in the store is because people steal. It's a true story. I was in Lowe's on Saturday. I think I told you about my Lowe's adventure Saturday. But I was at the help desk, and the doors outside are right behind it. I'm standing there, and this gal's waiting on me. And all of a sudden, we hear the alarm go off. You know how you go out with something you didn't pay for? Bah, bah, bah. And I look up, and this guy's running out the door. And the girl that's waiting on me is looking at him and looking around, and hey, 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 hey. And she picks up the phone, and then she goes running out. And then she comes back in, and this big guy comes, and they go running out. And they look around. And they come back in. I said, he went that away. God said, yeah. I said, y'all not going to get him? He said, you think I'm going to chase a guy out in that parking lot? I thought, you know, he's right. He said, oh, we got cameras. You know, we'll get a license number, blah, blah, blah. But I thought to myself, how often do we read about people doing this in stores? You read about it at Walmart all the time. They load up a basket and walk out the door. And every time they get away with it, it makes what I pay go up. The old saying, for somebody to get something for nothing, somebody going to get nothing for something. Stealing. We need to be careful about being honest in our lives. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means don't lie. You know, if you lie, you're a fool. You shouldn't talk like that. Okay. God said it. Proverbs 10:18. He that hideth a hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. I didn't write down the reference. I was reading in Proverbs one day. It says, if you lie to a person, you actually hate that person. a real thought, isn't it? Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to be careful what we say about people. The best thing is don't talk about people. Number 10. You know, so far we made it pretty good through these. Well, yeah, maybe I lied once in a while. But, you know, I don't have idols, and I didn't commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. That is a hard saying. Well, why? Because we have a tendency to covet. And it's so subtle. You ever find yourself wanting what other people have? And coveting it? Now, he says, you know, we shouldn't covet another man's wife and his goods and that kind of thing. And how about coveting others' position? In the church house. Why? I'd like to be a Sunday school teacher. I should be this or I should be that. Really? Think God has anything to do with that? Coveting. Listen, I really have to watch this. Why? See, a fellow has a big church, has five or six guys on staff, has all the help in the world he can get, has all the money he needs. And we struggle. It's easy to start coveting, but you've got to back up and say, wait a minute, God knows where I am, and he knows what I need, and this is what he's given me. I've got to learn to be, what's the word? Content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So whatever God gives us, we need to learn to be happy with. You know, vehicles. Maybe God's letting you drive a Ford. Just learn to be content. One day he'll let you get better. Amen. Just kidding. I was kidding Brother Klein about Fords today. And pray for him. He drives one. But anyway, your house. Maybe your house isn't as fancy as somebody else's. But it's where God put you. Your job. Well, you know, I want to be this. Hey, why don't you be content where you are? By the way, I learned this. I've shared the story with you. I learned it the very hard way. Maybe God's leaving you where you are so you'll learn to be content. I was stuck in a place where I wasn't content, and I was fussing with God constantly until he convicted me about it. And I finally got to the place. I said, okay. I was a janitor, and I said, Lord, if you want me to be a janitor the rest of my life, that's what I'm going to do. I'm tired of fighting over this. And you know, when I finally got my attitude right, and I was serious, I just said, I'm going to be content right where I am. All of a sudden, God started moving things, and it wasn't a month later, I was candidating at Parkdale. Yeah. For 2 years, I fussed with the Lord about, you know, nobody's called me, nobody's gone. All of a sudden, I said, Lord, I'm going to be content. I'm going to stay here if that's what you want. And God said, that's where I need you to be. Listen, God then goes on to give a bunch of moral codes in the next chapter. And listen, that next, all kinds of rules that God gave them on how to deal with different situations in life. Be good for you to read them. But God gave them to them. I see, God did that. The precepts were revealed, and the promises were repeated. Once again, God said, if you will, I will. Now, I'm letting you write a minute. fill your paper out. We'll have the test on Monday. Okay, now look up here. Here's the issue. God says, if you will, I will. The problem is, you're not doing if you will. So now God's not obligated to, I will. And you're having a hard time in your life, and you're fussing with God, and just all kinds of issues there. Why don't you just get to where you keep your part of the bargain? So God can keep His part of the bargain. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Moses. Thank you for what we learn. Thank you most of all for your promises. And Lord, help us to meet the conditions we need to meet. So many times you want to claim the promise without meeting the condition you put on it. God, help us. Speak to us. Help us to know where we're going wrong, that we can correct it. And thank you once again for 1 John 1:9, where if we'll confess, you'll forgive. Help us in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.